B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's tough to sit there and hold your tongue.
Ooh. Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Zone.
Sets the ball in the three-point lead here. Walker takes it. Rebound. Gordon Hayward for two.
Gordon Hayward with the corner crash. No block out.
Sells come up with another turnover. Quick foul. Gordon Hayward, a career high, tying 39.
It is like an early Festivus. I didn't expect it to go in that direction, but
wow.
Listen, maybe Danny Ainge has got some stuff on his chest that he wants to shoot out there. Why not? Danny Ainge, of course, joins us. Thank you, Bird. How you doing? You go down? Yeah, he's okay. Danny Ainge is president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, Danny. Have you been enjoying the last several minutes of the show?
I've been listening to a little bit. I'm glad that was a caller or somebody calling in with agreement. I thought that was you guys going at it. I thought that was Joe and you going at it.
No, that was Bert and Nick who do work on this show.
One of which probably won't be at work tomorrow.
That's awesome.
So just feel free at any moment to just let it all go there, Danny, if you'd like.
I don't know, but I was thinking maybe I need to go to work today and start asking everybody if they have any grievances.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not awkward at all. But either way, at least Nick's heart is back to one where it's not going to explode out of his chest. So we are glad for that.
But you guys seem to be enjoying it.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't enjoy him dying, but him getting almost near death, I think it was somewhat enjoyable. But you never want to see him actually die. That would just be ridiculous, I would think. But Danny, on the other side of things, something that's not dying is the record for the Celtics team. You like that transition? They have been excellent, or at least they have been fun to watch, and they've been closing out games. They've won five in a row. Just a basic question, what are you seeing that you like out of these last five games?
Well, I feel like, we have played well at the most important time, so that's the good side, and that's why we've won five in a row, but I feel like we can still get a lot better. I feel like our team can be more consistent. We've had some really bad halves and some fantastic halves of basketball, so I'd like to see them get more consistent, but there's always going to be something, but I feel I'm excited about what I'm seeing and just how our guys are being able to battle through the tough times of the game and hang in there and start making shots when the ball's not going in for stretches. Rebounding is still a concern and still something that we need to clean up.
How is the offense different this year than last? It just seems like more people are getting involved. You have three guys averaging over 20 points a game, and Jaylen Brown, who you get back tonight, had a good start, too, before he got sick.
So I think that, there's just less to share. Last year we were trying to divide it up amongst eight players with similar opportunities, and I think this year it's clear that, who our main scorers are. And the ball and our facilitators. And so it's a little bit easier to spread around.
Okay, well, to that point, you're taking a look at what seems to be the comeback season for Gordon Hayward. I mean, he last night, or the last game against the Cavaliers, had the best game of his NBA career, and that is on top of just him being consistently reliable and getting back to the guy that we knew in Utah. Is there something Brad Stevens is doing that's making him more effective, or is it just completely on Gordon being more confident and putting in the work?
Well, so first of all, I think, we've talked about this before. Gordon had some amazing games last year, and I think he probably would have had a few of these games last year had he been playing in this same role as a starting forward with this many opportunities. And last year, I remember a couple games where he scored 8 points and had 4 assists, and he looked fantastic. The opportunity, but he only got to play 23 minutes. And, I think that we sometimes confuse and look at the game. I look at the game completely different than most people. I don't look at it from points, rebounds, assists, and field goal percentage. I mean, I'm looking at their impact on winning, and you know, are they making the right decision? Are they making the right pass and the right read at the right time? Are they aggressive? Are they confident? You know, and I saw that in Gordon a lot last year. So I'm not surprised by a breakout, you know, performance that he had, because I've seen him have, I saw him have those the second half of last year. He just, like I said, the minutes and the touches and the shots and so forth weren't available to him last year.
So there was a, obviously in the preseason.
And I'll just add, he's really worked hard this offseason. I mean, he wanted to be that guy. He wanted to make Brad play him, and play him more and trust him and believe in him again to be that the one of the primary ball handlers and decision makers on the team.
Now, what was interesting was during the preseason, we saw that one game where Carson Edwards just went off. He had, I think it was 8 3-pointers in a matter of minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah, it was. Brad Stevens, he said he'd never seen anything like that before. And obviously, we knew what he did in the tournament last year. Just an excellent 3-point shooter. In the beginning of the season, when he got his chances, it seemed like he had the jitters and he wasn't able to make a lot of shots. He ended up getting 13 off the bench the other day. Is there part of you that kind of watches him play? And, like, do you remember what it was like your first several games? Do you think that was a case of, you know, maybe him trying to get, like, needing to get used to being on the big stage for the first time?
No, I don't think there's any of that. I think it's, I think what the biggest challenge is, and this was the biggest challenge for me and what I've seen in so many young players, is you go from being a 25 to 30 shot field goal attempt player in college and being the focus of your offense, and then all of a sudden and play with the green light, and then all of a sudden you are playing short minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minute stretches, and you know you want to contribute in the way you've always contributed, which is just by making threes. And it's hard. It's hard to get a rhythm in shooting. So I think that when you're not playing a long stretch of minutes, so I think that he's got to find ways. And this, the good part for him is he's going to not shoot the ball consistently and make shots every night in the limited role that he has at this moment. But he has to can find other ways to contribute to the game. He has to learn to become a great defender and learn our defensive schemes and make fewer mistakes on that end of the court and still contribute if the ball's not going in or if he doesn't even get any shots. And that's what he's working on. That's the phase of his career he's in.
Danny, you mentioned rebounding earlier. How would you grade out how your big men have done thus far in the season? I understand there's been a lot of injury problems there, but for those who have played, how do you think they've done?
I think they're doing well. I think Daniel Tice has had a couple of back-to-back really good games, fantastic games. The shot blocking, he looks really alert. He looks fresh and bouncy. He's really been an anchor for our defense.
So this was an interesting quote that came out the other day. You know, the Knicks and the Celtics were playing each other, and Marcus Morris was talking about his time with the Celtics. He obviously enjoyed it. He was, you know, busting Jason Tatum's, you know, chops afterwards about not being the one who was blocking him, and it was kind of a neat back and forth. But through all that, he also had mentioned that he had never received a call from you when it came to possibly re-signing with the team. Is that the case?
I don't remember it that way. I did talk to him. I know Jerome Allen talked to him, and I think that what he's referring, and Brad Stevens talked to him also. I think that what he's referring to, though, is he didn't receive an offer. When he says we didn't talk to him, we didn't, like, call and try to sign him back. And the reason was because we were signing Kimba, and we were doing all we could. And in order for us to get Kimba, we had to renounce our free agents. That's why we didn't make him an offer. But, you know, we did make Marcus Morris a 3-year contract extension offer last summer, before the season started, and he chose to become a free agent. And you know, we like Marcus, and you know, he's played really well for the Knicks this year. We're happy for him.
So if you guys didn't offer him a contract, what were those conversations that you guys had in the offseason?
I just called him to talk to him because Jerome Allen, who was very close with him, talked with him and shared with me some things that were going on in free agency, and I just called and gave him my 2 cents worth of, you know, some of the process that he was going through and gave him some knowledge that I had on what was going on in the free agent market at the time.
Okay, so it sounds like you're being fair with him. You're kind of letting him know the situation and how the market's going to be working. And, I mean, he didn't sound mad at you, in fairness. Like, he just said that they never received a call, and you're saying that it's just more that he just didn't get an offer.
Right.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. And by the way, speaking of another guy who's no longer here, but he's somebody who bleeds green, and obviously I know you two have a great relationship. Does it feel pretty good to see Isaiah Thomas back in a starting role here in the NBA?
Yeah, you're going to see him next week.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Isaiah is, you know, one of my favorite people I've been around in this business. And I'm rooting really, really hard for Isaiah to succeed. It's just been amazing to watch him over the last few years to endure and battle, and just his resolve is and persistence is amazing. So I'm really rooting for Isaiah. I hope that he can eke out a few more years of a career and get back to who he once was.
Another guy that was on your team last year that is performing pretty well, at least at the start, is Terry Rozier. I know you had an interesting relationship with him. We still remember draft night where he actually got you to admit to somebody that you were going to draft Robert Williams ahead of time. But, have you paid attention to how he started down in Charlotte? You guys are going to see him this evening.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Terry's. Terry, he's just a hardworking, really competitive kid, and I love his heart and passion for the game, and he's a good kid. I had a really good time with Terry while he was here, and I'm rooting for him to have some great success too.
That was a jerk move, though, right? Broadcasting your pick before everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he actually knew what he was doing, but he apologized to me later. But we. Yeah, he said, you can't call me on national TV if you expect me to pick up your phone call.
That's an excellent point. All right, so finally, Danny, if we were to invite you to go clubbing and glow stick flipping with the show next month, would you join us?
Probably not.
When's the last time you've been in a club like that, that cranks like the loud music and they do the fist pumping and table service?
Yeah, I'm not sure I ever have. I'm not sure I've ever been in a club like that.
Well, then you haven't lived. Then now you have to go with us. Obviously, no drinks. But you know, it'll keep things cheaper for me because it's on me.
Are you guys taking Nick out for a night?
I think he needs a drink or two.
Yeah.
To be quite honest.
Listening, I think that's true. Yeah.
I think he might need to, like, blow off a little bit of steam. And if you want to witness him doing so, it's, once again, we gave the open invitation to Mike Gorman as well. You are free to join us there, Danny Ainge.
All right. Well, I probably won't be joining you, but I do appreciate the invitation.
All right, man. Hey, thanks, Danny, and congratulations. It's been a fun as hell couple of games to watch. Like, these last 5 games, even though, you know, some of them been a little closer than we had all hoped, man, that is a team that wins games. So it's going to be fun to hopefully see if they continue that streak throughout the season.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Have a good week.
All right. See you, Danny. All right. Bye. All right. So let's just kind of, you know, do a little post-mortem.
Was Nick done, or was there more?
I don't know if he was done. And you know what? I do want to give you a chance. I was just joking.
No, I actually enjoy this. I enjoy watching. This is okay. Great.
That's all you do. And by the way, I'm busting Wog's balls, and it did come across. I was being a little bit of an ass, but it was funny. But I did want to give you a chance if you want.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
And I am a shot myself. I was gonna rant about Hallmark movies, but no one wants to hear that.
But people are saying, like, you know, this was something that, you know, Nick and Bird were kind of supposed to fake, and it turned into, like, real.
That got
airing
real,
of grievances
real fast.
Which I'm completely fine with. But
Nick has to finish. Let him finish.
Listen, I've got no problem with letting him retort. By the way, Bird is speaking in the metaphorical sense when he was talking about what he would do to his friend if he ended up asking for tickets.
Yes.
Just want to put that out there. He was being thumbs up, right, Bird? It was metaphorical. So yeah.
Yes.
Okay, okay, good. Okay. All right. So we will get to that right after this.
Dan and I want to be a part of this thing.
Oh, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And first of all, that was interesting what Danny said about Marcus Morris. I mean, he obviously made the right decision. I loved Marcus Morris on this team. He was loved here on this team. But if it meant clearing up a space in order to get Kemba Walker, you get rid of Marcus Morris. And it sounds to me, Danny has had a track record, and we've had players who have played for him say this, is that he's usually open and honest with them. Even if they're on the trading block, even if they're being discussed as, you know, in the offseason, whether they're going to sign them or not. And that phone call he's talking about where they didn't offer him anything, I guarantee you was, hey, listen, we're going to be getting Kemba Walker, and unfortunately, we're not going to be able to re-sign you. And so when Marcus Morris says he never got a call, Danny's right. He got they didn't give an offer. But what is news to me is that they offered him a 3-year deal last year. Like, that's interesting. And I don't even know what money was
for. Actually, I mean, what was the money?
Well, obviously, we don't know. But the fact is, the Celtics did want him as part of their future. And when Morris says that, says what he said, it painted it in a light where it didn't look like Danny wanted him around.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. That's the newsworthy part of it. And the other part of it is when I asked him about how the offense was different, and he said, well, now there aren't as many options. We had 8 guys who were trying to get the ball to last year. We only have 4 this year. Marcus Morris is one of those guys who needs the ball.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, he was the hottest player on the team.
So, I mean, and he was, but you saw, if you watched the game against the Knicks, he needs the ball.
Yeah, at least you have someone like Marcus Smart on this team that is the dog. Like somebody, every team needs.
And doesn't need the basketball.
You're right. Every team needs that one guy that plays a little over the edge. Like just kind of pushes it. Like a Draymond Green type player. I mean, most successful teams have one guy that's like that. When Marcus Morris was here, you had 2.
Yeah, and he was a big man. Two things to add. He spurned the Spurs, no pun, 2 years, $20 million. So, and then he ended up settling for 1 year, $15 million with New York.
He probably got offered like $8 or $9 million a year from Danny. He probably did.
But 2 years, $10 million, that could be on par with what he would have made anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree.
But I think we're all glad in the end if it meant not getting Kemba Walker.
He's probably trade bait this year with a 1 year deal for the Knicks.
I would
Knicks.
Agree. Maybe they're hoping he performs so well that someone can steal a first round pick from somebody.
Maybe
I would
there's
agree.
A reunion in Boston.
Might be. All right, let's get to the important stuff. So we played this rant from some guy in Cleveland that it sounded to me like he was doing it just to make it a viral clip. Dan, could you pull me up here?
I got it coming to me because I'm a damn fool.
Yeah, that's right. And then he ended his rant by saying,
goodbye.
So I was like, listen, I'm jealous of everybody's rants going viral. Let's have 4 people on the show rant about something that they're probably not being sincere about in order just to send it out and go, hey, like, as a matter of fact, Joe Murray did a rant about how he was pissed that the team was no longer 19-0. And I put out a tweet. I said, holy guacamole. Did you just hear that over-the-top passionate rant that Joe Murray just gave about the Patriots not going 19-0? I mean, whoa. We'll post the audio later. Please retweet. And I got a bunch of people retweeting it. Hey, Max, at Max Kellerman. This guy thinks Julian Edelman's not in the Hall of Fame. Hashtag not in the Hall of Fame. And, you know,
that's going to make the show today.
There's people, you know,
maybe
like,
tomorrow.
Hey, at Stephen A. Smith. This Patriots fan's complaining about not being 19-0. Hashtag not 19-0. But now there's, you know.
Things got real after
that. And then things got real. Bird came in here and lost his mind about what started off as his phone screener, then turned into him yelling at his friend Paul, who texts him too much. and then Nick came in and delivered a rant against all of us, against all of us here at the station. Now, what were some of your biggest, did you want to finish or did you leave anything out?
No, I'm done. Am I fired?
Why would you be fired?
I feel bad.
What? Why would you feel?
I don't know.
Listen, I got people.
It came from a dark place.
I got people calling me a dick because I cut off Wallach when he went into his Hallmark thing because I thought it was funny. Which, I, by the way, I offered him. I said, "Listen, you can do it."
I'd much rather hear Nick. To be honest with you,
admit it. That was kind of funny.
no, you were a dick.
Okay, well, that's true. That's true too. But it was so that you've got everything off your chest.
Yeah.
All right. What was your biggest issues with the people here?
My biggest issue, I guess right now, I know Dan. I've known Dan for, 10 years?
Can Maybe. We still have your dad on if you're no longer here? I mean, that would be awesome.
You kind of passed the point with no return with Dan there, Nick.
No.
Good to see you, Nick.
Listen, I am not the first or last person that will say Dan is a very sarcastic person. And, John, would you like to agree?
I get more than my fair share.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that anxiety part that you said with Fred Rich?
That is from the days of WBCN when I was just an intern.
No, it's now too.
In some cases, yes.
All right,
absolutely.
Then.
But
if you
it
say
started,
it, just go with it.
It started at WBCN. No, it started at WBCN. I would go in there just with the highest of anxiety. And I would leave with the highest of anxiety.
And I understand. Now, that I understand. Because, I mean, I mean...
You guys are mean.
All right. Let's do the mean pie. Let's break down a mean pie. Now, let's start with the WBCN mean pie. Okay? So there were basically three of us. Let's take, Be Real and producer out of it for now. Just like me, Fred, and Crash. What percentage of the pie... Who had the smallest percentage of the mean pie?
You.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where am I hovering? Like what percent?
Probably like 25.
Okay, 25%.
You know what it's going to be? It's 25% you, 25% Crash, and 50% Fred. But that was Fred, and he's acknowledged that in the past.
Yes. Now, let's go to the present on the who's being a dick to Nick pie. It's me, John, and Fred. Once again, who has the lowest percentage?
Oh.
Well, John.
That's more equal.
You didn't mention John.
I mean, what?
You didn't mention John on your sheet, I read.
No, I did. I was talking about
how he said, I don't pay attention to him when he shows up at work in the morning and I'm doing my work here.
Yeah.
I don't know how to break it down. I would say Fred is still, the meanest. A person, but it's not as we're not talking like 50%. We're maybe talking, I think you guys are all equal.
Wow.
Hang on.
Wow.
I take offense to that.
You too.
No. But
I completely take offense to that.
I take
offense
to that.
That's so not true.
Honestly, the only things that really bug me is what I said on the sheet.
Okay.
And those are not
terrible
things.
And the thing that you said about me that bugs you is I don't text you back in a timely manner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that my worst offense?
When he's trying to get bits done on weekends.
Yeah, when I'm trying to get...
And that earned me 33% of the pie?
When I'm trying to get content for the show, that is a problem.
Well, first of all, this weekend you went to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize you were going. You talked about maybe going. And so it's Saturday morning. Saturday morning, you have to understand, I got a million things to do with my kids and stuff like that.
I understand.
And so I texted you back when all that was done. I'm like, oh, yeah. And I should text you back immediately. That I should do. But... You're saying that right there is worse than Fred constantly bringing up your father making out with a porn star.
All right. Well, all right. You brought that
somehow
up.
We forgot about
hang
Fred.
On. Hang on. Wait a moment. A true expert here. Let's go to your father, Mr. Mark Tonelli.
Jesus Christ.
On the hotline.
He called us.
Mr. he called us.
Come in and slap you in those glasses. That your dad called us.
He called us, Nick.
He's trying to...
Stop. It's now time for the true Jamelli star. Mark, good morning.
Mark. I don't want to rant. I got to rant.
You want to rant? Okay, please. Mark, go ahead.
I got to rant. Nicholas, of anybody who never returns text messages, how dare you be critical of Rich, John, Dan, Joe... But don't, or Dan, my God, Nicholas, come on.
I mean, Mark.
Give them all a hug today. Where are you guys? Hug it out, Nick. Hug it out.
I was about to say, okay, Nick's already having a bad day. I'm just going to be honest with you, Mark. you calling in and also calling out his own, your own son might not be helping that, to be quite honest.
I just want to add one thing. You tell Dan I'm always available.
That'd be great.
Thank you, Mr. Jamelli.
Thank you, Mr. Jamelli. I appreciate you calling in and just putting more gasoline on the Nick Jamelli fire.
Oh. His heart's going to burst right out of his chest here.
Now I'm thinking it's probably 40% Fred.
Okay.
And then, I don't know. It's probably same 50% Fred and you two are 25%.
That makes more sense.
But for the record, Fred is not as bad as he was at WBCN. He was on another level.
Right, okay. What percentage of Fred's blame pie here, the Fred being a dick pie, is ball busting, and what percentage is really mean?
I think most of it is ball busting.
Okay.
That's true.
All right, and we can all live with ball
busting. There have been times he flips out over the simplest of things.
What's the meanest you think he's been to you since you've been here?
Since I've been here?
Sports Hub.
I can't really think. The only thing I can really think of is I guess it's the windows. That's not even the meanest thing. That's the only thing that's popping in my head.
You didn't see this, but yesterday, so for people who don't know, there's these windows that have these electronic shades that have to be down for Gresham Zoe because they're on TV. You can't have natural
Zolak
light coming.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Oh, I'm sorry, but boy, I see Gresham.
Zolak and Bertrand, damn it.
Gresh, by the way, losing a ton of weight, looking good. So the those windows, they have to go down, but they usually are lowered right when we leave. There's a period of time where Wallach's doing the headlines and about to hand over the baton. There was an intern yesterday that came in with 2 minutes left in the show and put the shades down. And Fred went, Nick, Dad, what are you doing? Nick, what are you doing? Lost it, thinking it was you. And this poor intern was just like, and Fred, instead of continuing, was just like, oh, well, you're not Nick, so it's not worth dealing
with. This poor intern just doing his job.
Flips out over those windows. Like, it's ridiculous how much he flips out. I understand because he worked in a basement for how many years? Like 10 years
It was like you just didn't know what that it was. You didn't see the light of day. It was like a cave.
This is minor. Whatever. I can't think of anything else. I mean, most of the time it's just ball busting.
Okay. All right.
This is where Boston talks sports. Toucher and Rich, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
I need 5 Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and I said it earlier in the show. If you're going to the TD Garden to watch the Bruins, the Celtics, you're getting one of the best tickets in town. I mean, the last couple weeks, it's been fun to watch. Both teams, easy to root for. And right now, caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Celtics battle the Wizards next Wednesday at the TD Garden. Isaiah Thomas, you're going to hopefully get to see him. Don't miss your chance to see Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, and the rest of your Boston Celtics live at TD Garden. Visit Celtics.com/ticks to secure your seats today. I am actually trying out the new rafters club that they're doing next week. You know that construction they've been doing?
Yeah, yep. It looks amazing. I went to the Bob Seger concert about a week ago. It was so awesome.
How was Bob Seger?
It was great. Rocked the house.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of night move stuff. Yeah, it was really good.
I bet you couldn't even breathe in that place. I bet it was just smoke.
Lots of marijuana.
Okay, yeah. Kind of figured. So he was in Joe Murray Heaven.
He's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm going to check that out next week. And, I mean, as you said, the drawings and stuff look great. I'm going to that, I think it's the Panthers game.
I've done the Putnam Club. I have not been upstairs for the renovation. Apparently, they have two sets of bleachers now up in the Halo section. Instead of just like the flat where the media was, now they have lower seats and upper seats up on the ninth floor in the Halo section.
Ah, very nice.
I fit in the seats, but if you're tall, it's a tough
So you fit in the seats fine.
I mean,
then it's not a problem.
It sucks. I'm not going to lie to you. But if you're tall, like I'm 6'3", it's too tall. But I didn't think I could actually fit in the seat.
Yeah,
I do fit in the seat. It's really really tight.
All right. Well, I mean,
really tight.
All right. Yeah. You know, I've had most of the people, like 80 to 90% of the people who have gone, say it's not that big of a deal.
I was there last Friday.
The only thing I wish they had was a cup holders. That was cool. Like, I think some of the ones don't have it anymore. That's the only thing. But, I mean, they say the seat's more comfortable, but there are some people who obviously are taller, and then they might have a little bit of a hard time. So there you go. Call number 10 right now, 617-931-0985. And there is an update on that cat that it was running around the field, and Kevin Harlan did the great play-by-play for. This was actually a press release that was put out by MetLife Stadium. # Black Cat Update. So Tuesday morning, we set multiple humane traps throughout the stadium and searched long and hard for the black cat to no avail. At that point, we brought in our friends at Puppy Kitty New York City. A trap, neuter, and release, no kill shelter to assist with the search. They couldn't find them. They said there have been erroneous reports in the media that MetLife Stadium houses and feeds 300 cats, which is simply not true. From time to time, we've seen cats in the complex, the Meadowlands racetrack. They said, but they do not feed those. We're grateful to the outpouring of support, blah, 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 blah. I love it they actually had to put out a press release because so many people were concerned about this cat that was going nuts. The best part of all that were the players who legitimately were spooked out by the entire thing, like superstition or whatever. They did not like that cat being on the field.
Who really hates cats?
I mean, there are people
who are different about them. And
I'm not gonna do Jay Stu.
I don't hate cats, but they're damn smart. They freak me out. I tap my fingers. They think I'm playing with them.
Like, yeah, but I mean, who's like afraid and has to run the other way?
I'm allergic to cats, so I can't. I don't like them, but they like me.
Yeah, people
like
have.
If there's a room full of people and there's a cat there, he'll come straight to me.
Sure. I mean, that happens. People are allergic to cats. People are dog people or cat people. I'm a dog person, but cats don't freak me out. I don't know.
I know horses freak some people out.
Yeah, quite a phobia. Eric Berry, it's one of my favorite sound clubs. Oh, hell, I go that horse. I don't want none of that horse. So Doc Rivers yesterday said something that I think have been in a lot of people's minds. Yesterday, his Clippers took on the Milwaukee Bucks, and there was a lot of controversy because Kawhi Leonard ended up being rested because it's a back-to-back, the first night of a back-to-back. Load management, it's called. Was something that was approved by the NBA, but it's also something that you knew what you were getting when you got Kawhi Leonard. And to be quite honest, if you're a Clippers fan, sure, it would suck if you had tickets to the game they didn't play. But also, if you're a Clippers fan, if he's going to be healthy in the postseason, that's really the main thing that you want. However, yesterday was about more than that. Doc Rivers is a little pissed with these coaches' challenges, which are just awful in the NBA. They're not as bad as offsides challenges in hockey, but they're bad. Here's Doc Rivers.
Towards the end of the game, you challenged the offensive foul Lou had. What did the referees tell you was the reason they didn't overturn it?
Yeah, I know. That was awful. It was. It was not. They should have overturned it. That's why I hate the rule. Nobody wants to be wrong. I mean, let me just say that. You have to overturn that. Unless Bledsoe fouled Lou with his face, there was no foul on that play. There was a flop. I think it should have been more of a chance that Bled got a letter from the league about flopping than Bled got fouled. That was awful. I don't like the rule anyway. I said it up front, and now I like it even less.
Mm-hmm. By the way, this is on a completely different subject. You said that a couple minutes ago somebody tweeted out that Odell Beckham Jr., the reports are, that there was a sit-down, and I guess that he is going to be getting more and more targets this week?
There's an edict from the team now that OBJ get the ball more.
Mike Florio, we have to a quote from Baker Mayfield, we have to force-feed Odell Beckham early in games, and this is from Mike Florio from today.
Ooh. Is he saying that Baker Mayfield actually said that? That's slightly a passive-aggressive statement, wouldn't you say? The term force-feed? I mean, because what someone would say if they weren't being snarky was, I got to find a way to get Odell Beckham back involved with this offense. I haven't been doing my job. But we need to force feed makes it sound like you're being, not make sound like, it's you're saying you're being forced to do something
that
you normally would not do. And maybe this is on the heels of apparently Odell Beckham Jr. In the fourth quarter was heard walking off the field saying, I can't get the damn ball. Like, nobody can give me the damn ball.
And it's always good to react immediately if you're a team based on what a player says.
Oh, this is great. This is a bigger disaster than I thought it was going to be.
Further down the drain this team goes.
This is so fantastic. And you know what, too? There was a report that came out yesterday that Odell Beckham Jr., if this continues to be a absolute trash can on fire, then they're going to possibly trade him. I guarantee you that does not come from the Browns. That comes from Odell Beckham Jr.'s camp. And I guarantee you one of the reasons, so nice to Tom Brady, is that he wants some lobbying. He wants some lobbying in order to get him to be a member of the Patriots, because that's going to be a situation where he's going to try to completely shoot himself off of the team. Because we now know in the NFL, that can work.
Yeah, he's nuts. And if I'm Buffalo and I read this, how easy is coverage going to be? I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's obviously a super dumb thing. I mean,
I'm the Buffalo Bills and I read this, oh, okay. You know,
the Bills might have 4 interceptions this week.
I still don't know how the Browns are favored in this one. I
told you that was a weird line.
I don't know.
And it's not often you stump Murray when it comes to this kind of thing, but when I said it during the break, you looked at me and went, really? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, have you ever had a sports book refund your money on a bad bet because they felt guilty?
Never, but I've heard other books have done it. It's never happened to me.
Okay. When we come back, there is a player that many people put down as MVP this year, that there are sports books in Vegas that actually feel so bad for those people, they're refunding their money. See if you can guess who it is. We'll tell you when we get back.
The game where Boston sports fans start their day.
Oh, now, focus.
With Tucker and Rich on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. First of all, just to deliver on the tease that I had beforehand, that player that people in the sports book are refunding money to, some of the sports books, for MVP is Mitch Trubisky. So they feel so bad that, matter of fact, I think that his odds were like 60-1 or something, like pretty decent odds, and they feel bad, so they're actually refunding the money. Yes.
We touched on a little earlier, but Mitch Trubisky is not only a bad quarterback, he is soft in the head because he demanded. Now he's asking, and he asked through the media, you know, we got to turn all the TVs off at Halas Hall that are criticizing us because he doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I've never heard that
from a
quarterback.
Real quick, this story just came down, and this is interesting. This is from Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. It says, new book ties Aaron Hernandez to a fourth murder. Mm. They said the time of his suicide, Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez had been convicted of one murder and acquitted of killing two other men. A book links Hernandez to a fourth murder with a direct connection to the first one. In Aaron Hernandez's Killing Fields, investigative journalist Dylan Howard writes that Hernandez bragged to his cellmate that Hernandez was responsible for the murder of not 3 but 4 people. Quote, Aaron always used to tell me that he had 4 murders, Kyle Kennedy told Howard. He would just always all the time joke around saying, quote, I got 4 bodies. According to the book, Hernandez originally dispatched a group of men to find and kill Owen Lloyd in June 2013, a week before Lloyd was killed by Hernandez and others, in a move that for some, a certain age and musical taste will conjure memories of Big Audio Dynamite's Dial a Hitman. That is a really random thing to throw in the middle of a serious story. What the hell are you doing, Florio?
Big Audio Dynamite.
It said the crew may have killed a man named... How wildly inappropriate is that? It's like making a joke in the middle of like a story about another guy being murdered. He goes, the crew may have killed a man named Jordan Miller, accidentally thinking he was Lloyd.
Yeah.
Ooh. Miller and Lloyd apparently had physical similarities, and they moved in the same circles. It was the rest of Hernandez for the killing of Lloyd that first exposed Hernandez's double life. Hernandez was also accused of... in this book, this, I guess, investigative journalist... found out that there is, and I don't know how, once again, this is all I got right now. I have not read the book, but it sounds like he has found evidence that might lead towards when they told him to go kill his guys to go kill Owen Lloyd, they killed somebody else thinking it was Owen Lloyd. Ooh, that is some heavy stuff right there. We'll see what else comes out of that. I listened to that that thing that the Globe did where it had like phone calls and stuff like that. And you know, and to me, it's like we lived through all of that and like we kind of, like, nothing really shocks me. We know what most of the information that's out there. This, however, is the one thing that is like, all right, well, That's a new element that does shock me quite a little bit. So there you go. There's that. Zolak and Bertrand. I got the name correct this time instead of completely giving credit to a guy who hasn't worked in the station in years. But they should be on the show with us in a moment. So, Joe, thank you for filling in at the last minute. We appreciate it.
Good to see you.
Thank you for coming in. And hope to see you out at the old Blinky Drinks. And
that's right. December 13th.
You think you're going to come with us?
I'm in.
No, you missed the dance moves earlier. That was worth the price of admission right there. The dance moves were great.
We'll give you like the Dawn spot, like right in the corner.
We're all gonna be Pitbull. No. We're all gonna be fist pumping, all of us.
There you go. That's the Joe Murray theme.
Oh, when you're a big fat guy, a drink in one hand and just this.
Oh, yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's the Big Papa.
Exactly.
The Notorious B.I.G.
But your wife's going to be out on the dance floor.
That's right. She'll be dancing too.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. I like it.
And a listener had the best idea. When we go, if you've never been to these clubs, like, you know, a lot of times it's like floor to ceiling, these big, giant video monitors.
Right.
Is that we should get him a picture of the Wallach head. Just Wallach heads everywhere. If that happens, that might be my favorite moment of my radio career.
That'll be top 10 for me, too.
If I'm sitting in a packed nightclub and everyone's just going absolutely crazy and like, going like that, and the confetti cannons going off and the smoke and the lasers. And
all right, the monitors?
It's got to be right at the end of the buildup. It's like, and all of a sudden everything goes dark right here. And then, boom, Wallach head.
They'll do that for you.
And one Wallach head turns into 10 Wallach heads, which turns into 1,000 Wallach heads spinning, all moving in unison.
Oh, man, I don't know if I can handle that.
And everyone with the glow sticks just goes along with the Wallach heads. Back and forth, to the right, to the left, to the right, to the left. Gap this way, gap that way, gap to the right, to the left. Oh, it might be the highlight of my radio career if that ends up happening.
What would be your song, like, Wallach, if you had a dance?
I don't know.
If you're like, go on, get your back up off the wall, what would be your song?
Back up off the wall.
We're doing Cool in the Game.
I don't know. What would be your song, man?
Ladies' Night. There you go.
No, it's dude, you're Pitbull's your guy.
Yeah, Pitbull's my guy.
Yeah, Pitbull's
the guy. We'll do Bad Man by Pitbull.
See, no one's ever heard of Bad Man.
No, it's got what's his name? Robin Thicke is part of it.
It sounds awful.
Joel Perry's on it. Be great.
Okay, I mean, see, I thought it would have been...
That's not bad.
You know the roof on fire. I'm gonna fake laugh and go. It's gonna be falling out. It's in the roof on fire.
That's fine.
No, you're right. Up my booty and
it has to be Pitbull. You're right.
I'm on fire. What are you, John Wallach?
I'm a fireball.
And then the heads.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Gap tooth left, gap tooth right, spinning upside down, left and right. Yeah, that has to happen. That has to happen.
It's good that Zoe came in for the crossover.
Yeah.
It's good, nice. Good that he's here, especially after promising.
You might
want to
queue up that Huey Lewis.
Oh, is that right? They're stuck?
I got nobody. I don't have anybody.
Oh.
Interesting.
I do know that this morning, even at like 3:45, there was traffic on 93 coming into the city from the south.
So I don't want to get political, but there's somebody in town today, somebody's wife, and they shut down exit 18.
I thought Melania was here yesterday.
I read today that it was also.
She might still be here, but I mean, not at 9. I mean, not at like 3:45 in the morning. I think that's a construction thing.
Well,
I don't know. Who knows what's going on? But all I know is that Huey Lewis in the news, that's what we do if the show behind us. No one has shown up. We've not seen a sign. Have you seen any of them, Mike? Nick? Nobody? Ooh.
Hang on. Right. No, we got a thumbs up from one of the salespeople just showed up there. One of them is here.
Okay, one of them is indeed here.
Yes.
Ah, damn it. I want to play with Huey Lewis. All right. Well, Joe, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thank
Hopefully
you.
Hopefully Fred will be back and the squirts will be... Sports will be done by tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
Go Bye. Rutgers.
Oh, yes. Go Rutgers tonight.
Both you can go to hell.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.